Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the title of the message this morning is, He Does All Things Well. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of that phrase, He does all things well, as it relates to God, but this is something of what comes to my mind.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature you
does amaze me when I look at some of those pictures, to think that all that God has done in creating all that exists, the stars, our incredible planet, all the varieties of life we see in the sea and the air and on the land, creatures that can thrive in the cold and extraordinary heat and everything in between. You know, everything we see has been intricately created with such wisdom and forethought it's beyond human comprehension. I think we can all agree and confess that truly God does all things well. I wonder, then, if that's what the people who spoke those words in our gospel lesson were thinking. You know, although I haven't been preaching on them, the gospel lessons for the past few weeks have shown a rather remarkable contrast to what we heard today. Jesus does it well as he calms a storm that threatened to capsize the boat that he and his disciples were in, but they respond with terror, asking each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And then we read that he does it well as he heals a woman who had a disorder for 12 years that no doctor could cure and raises the daughter of a synagogue ruler from the dead. But then when he goes to his own hometown, the people greet him with, "Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that has been given to him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Aren't these his brothers and sisters?" And we read that they took offense at him. They were so angry, upset, and filled with disbelief that Jesus couldn't do more than heal a few sick people there. You know, I got to ask, what's wrong with these folks? These were the people of God, the children of Israel. They knew the scriptures. They had heard of the mighty acts of God who enabled Abraham and Sarah to have a child when he was 99 and she was 95. I guess that's a good thing. It was for us. I don't know about Abraham and Sarah. That would be quite a feat. They knew about the rescue of the Israelites from Egypt, the miracles that God performed in the wilderness, and how he had given them the land in which they had lived for 1,500 years. And they'd been taught that God would send a Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, whom the prophets had foretold, and who would perform miracles like these and more. How did Isaiah say it in our Old Testament reading this morning? Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. How could they be so thick? Well, we might be able to chalk up the disciples' lack of understanding because they were just simply overwhelmed seeing Jesus do these things again and again. But we know this, that most of those who refused to acknowledge God working through Jesus did so because they just did not want to believe. To the Pharisees, Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, who said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." The Pharisees, who of all people should have known better, who should have welcomed Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises, just didn't want it to be true. They didn't want the God who does all things well. They wanted to be God themselves because they wanted to do it on their own. They had the law. That would make them righteous. What do we need this man who has come and turned our lives upside down? And I think that's why today's reading is so amazing and yet so disturbing and sad. Today's reading finds Jesus on, as I said, one of his few excursions outside of Israel. And there he meets a woman whose daughter was tormented by an evil spirit. She begs Jesus for help, and Jesus' initial response seems harsh, even cruel. But instead of arguing with him, instead of taking offense, as the people of Nazareth did, this woman humbly acknowledges that she doesn't deserve Jesus' time and attention. And Jesus does it well, granting her request, demonstrating great love and concern for someone whom the Jews literally looked down upon as fodder for the fires of hell. And then, still in non-Jewish territory, some people bring a man who, because he's deaf, can hardly talk. And what does Jesus do? Rather than turning this into a spectacle, something that would wow the crowd, he takes the man aside privately. And I picture Jesus putting his hands on the sides of the man's head, getting face to face with him, and then looking intently into his eyes, he puts his fingers in the man's ears, and then he touches his tongue, and he touches the man's tongue. He's telling him what he's going to do for the man. And then, having the man's full attention, he speaks, he sighs the word, "Ephphatha," be opened. And immediately this man could not only hear, but whose speech had been so garbled because of his deafness, can now speak plainly and clearly. And how do these Gentile pagans respond? They respond with praise. "He has done all things well." You know, it isn't by accident that Mark in that gospel lesson records the people's reaction. Right before it says he does all things well, it tells us that Jesus tells them not to speak about this, but they speak all the more. Do you find it kind of strange that Jesus can't keep the people from telling the good news of that miraculous healing? See, Jesus commands demons to be quiet, and they obey. He commands deaf ears to be opened, and they are. But Jesus can't stop the work of the gospel. It's his very nature to be doing the things that his Father desires him to do. And that must be told. He can't stop the proclamation of the gospel. It's the very reason for his mission from his Father. Not even Jesus' authority or efforts can stop these things from happening. Now, of course, we know that Jesus could have exercised power. He could have caused all the people in that village to be mute as he healed a deaf man. He could have waved his hand and caused them all to be silent. But see, that's not who he is. His love and nature just doesn't go there. He is unable to silence them. He is unable to withdraw from the creation that he loves. He's unable not to do things well. Now, to really understand these two events, we need to see what Mark wrote right before this. We heard in last week's gospel lesson, after chastising the Pharisees for being so concerned with the dietary laws that they'd imposed on the people, those dietary laws which they believed made them as one of the steps of becoming righteous, Jesus tells his disciples that what comes out of our mouths is more important than what goes in. Not eating a kosher diet doesn't make one sinful. Rather, what comes out through the mouth in our actions demonstrates what's happening in our hearts. And if we're going to be completely honest, I think we all know what that looks like for us most of the time. But today's reading emphasizes that just as the evil words and curses that come out of our mouths give witness to our sinful heart, the good words, the words that give witness to the God who does all things well, the actions of our hands as we help that brother or sister who needs our help, give witness to what God has also planted inside of us. How is it that that woman had the ability to speak words of humility to Jesus? How is it that that deaf man's tongue is loosened to speak the praises of God? How are the people able to praise a God whom they barely knew? Only because Jesus opens ears and loosens tongues. And just as he did with a desperate mother and a deaf man, he puts holy and beautiful things inside our hearts, and he draws them out as well for people to see and to glorify God. At the beginning of the sermon, we reflected a bit on the wonder of God's creation, how he has done all things well. It's no different with the Son of God. In fact, in his gospel, John reminds us that all things were made through Jesus, the Word who became flesh, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was right there, creating the wondrous universe, the planet that is our world, and all that fills our world, including you and me. Jesus made all things well then, and he's still in the business of doing all things well. He takes you and me, and he creates faith where there's nothing but darkness. And then he not only enables you to cling to his promises, but to speak them, to act on them as well. You know, it's been said that evangelism, scary word. It's been said that evangelism is always telling the story of what has happened to you, not to somebody else. No one else can tell the story of what Jesus means to you, just as you really can't tell someone else's story. Jesus draws his love out of you. What a story we all have to tell. He truly is an amazing God, a God who does all things well, even through us. Amen.